I have decided to follow Jesus.
Welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7, a radio ministry of the Berean Call with T.A. McMahon and the late founder of the Berean Call, Dave Hunt. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for joining us. This week, we continue a series of radio discussions from the TBC archives based on Dave Hunt's book, When Will Jesus Come? As Dave and Tom examine the topic, Compelling Evidence for Jesus' Imminent Return. Along with Dave Hunt, here's TBC Executive Director Tom McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. You're listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a program in which we encourage everyone who desires to know God's truth to look to God's Word for all that is essential for salvation and living one's life in a way that is pleasing to Him. In this first segment of our program, we're going through Dave Hunt's book, When Will Jesus Come? Compelling Evidence for the Soon Return of Christ. And Dave, God reveals Himself in the Scriptures as the God of prophecy, and that Israel is His witness to that fact. And you point out in your book that no one can have a true understanding of the Bible unless he understands the prophetic significance of Israel and Israel's Messiah. Why is that?
Well, Tom, because as you know, probably most of the listeners know, Israel is the major subject in the Bible. Just thumb through the pages of the Bible, and most of the pages are about Israel. Even the New Testament, very much of it is about Israel. Mm-hmm. And Paul in Romans 9 is still concerned about Israel. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So that's Romans chapter 10, verse 1. And in chapter 9, he says he would go to hell, literally, if he could save these people.
Yeah, his kinsmen according to the flesh.
Right. So God is called the God of Israel 203 times. So I don't know whether we have anyone listening to this program who is anti-Semitic. But if you are, you have God's curse upon you. Mm-hmm. I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you.
Yeah, I don't know how somebody like that could claim to read the Bible and come to that position. Mm-hmm. It's stunning.
So, first of all, if we're going to know God, and Jesus said in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So, if we are going to know the only true God, we're going to know him as the God of Israel. Mm-hmm. He never says he's the God of the Americans or the French or Germans and so forth. He is the God of Israel, okay? So Israel is absolutely essential to the plan of God. He chose a man, Abraham, and from him, Isaac and Jacob and so forth, and then these people. And as we've often said, the Messiah doesn't just step off of a UFO and say, voila, here I am. He comes with a pedigree. He comes, of course, with prophecies uttered by Hebrew prophets. The whole Old Testament is written by the Hebrew prophets, with the possible exception of Job. I don't know who wrote the book of Job. But he comes with a history, with ancestry.
Mm-hmm. Genealogy.
Right. And this is the proof of the Messiah. So you can't take Israel out of the picture. He came to his own, the scripture says. He came, first of all, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, I am not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came to give them the opportunity to receive their Messiah. The promise of the Messiah had been made to Israel. So Israel, wow, they present tremendous lessons for us. We've talked about the base of Mount Sinai. They just heard God speak with an audible voice. In fact, he gave the Ten Commandments with an audible voice before he wrote them on the tables of stone. And all the people heard him speak. They trembled at his voice. They promised they would keep these commandments. And before Moses got down from the mount, they had already broken the very first commandment, okay? So that tells us a little bit about ourselves, mm-hmm. tells us about how we can promise to serve God, obey Him, and then we don't. It tells us about God's mercy and His grace. Also, God said they would have to remove the tabernacle from the center. It was the center of Israel, and all the 12 tribes were around it. Mm-hmm. And God said, I cannot remain among these people. I would consume them because they're sinful and I'm holy. So they moved the tabernacle out, and those who wanted to seek the Lord, they went out. All of these Old Testament pictures are fulfilled in the New Testament. And so the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 13 says, let us go forth outside the camp unto him, bearing his reproach. Mm-hmm. The tabernacle was a picture of Christ. So we read in John's Gospel chapter 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word literally is tabernacled. The tabernacle to begin with, and then the temple, was a dwelling place for God. Well, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. So it was like God is dwelling among us. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Mm-hmm. So instead of being a tabernacle of skins and so forth, or the temple, here comes God himself as a man, and he is dwelling among us. The scripture says, a body hast thou prepared me. So this is the eternal God, the eternal Son of God, tabernacling, dwelling among men, and of course coming to pay the penalty for our sins. In Israel, we have so many examples. The sacrifices, the Levitical sacrificial system, Passover, the Passover lamb. And of course, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God. So if we don't understand what the prophets have said, like Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. So Israel is really a picture of the rejection by mankind of the Savior. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Wernher von Braun who said, you know, he was a Christian, and he said, how amazing that the God who created this universe comes to reveal himself to man, and they nail him to a cross. The cross, it reveals the evil of the human heart. And there's no better way to reveal the grace and mercy of and love of God than in the fullness of the manifestation of man's evil. God didn't love us because we were lovable or because we deserved it. So Israel, of course, has so much to tell us of God himself and of the way of salvation. But then we must not confuse Israel with the church. Mm-hmm. So there's
Before you go there, let me just back up to Israel a minute. Some of the things that you've been saying, Israel, these are God's chosen people. The book, Jewish people refer to the Old Testament as the Tanakh, you know. Mm-hmm. And as you read the Old Testament, you say, wait a minute. Yes, this is a Jewish book written by Jewish prophets under the inspiration of God. But you know, it's not a book like you'd find today where when men write books for other men or men and women, it's to make them feel good, to mm-hmm. kind of puff them up, to right. encourage them, you know, be positive and so on. Mm-hmm. In other words, you go through the Old Testament and you find, wait a minute, this has got to be God speaking through men to us, because Jewish people, humanity for that matter, we are not presented in a light that would build us up or, mm-hmm. you know, turn the focus on us. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some very difficult things.
You just get the truth.
Right. And it brings conviction of the heart. Right. So the point is that this is God's book. Mm-hmm. And the Jewish people, as you've pointed out, are his witnesses of that.
Exactly. That's what Isaiah 43:10 says. You are my witnesses, to yourselves and to the world that I am God. Okay, so as we've probably said 100 times on this program, somebody says, why do you believe in God? The Jew. Israel, one word. This is the great proof. But then we have another problem because, well, there are many people today, particularly Presbyterians, Reformed theologians, who say, yeah, but Israel is finished. The church has replaced Israel. Well, that's simply not true.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a Catholic idea before it was a Presbyterian idea.
Right. In fact, there are many Catholic ideas, dogmas, mm-hmm. that hung on, that clung to the Reformers. They left that church, but they couldn't escape many of the ideas. We know that Martin Luther himself was an anti-Semite. In 1542, he wrote a book titled Against the Jews and Their Lies. In fact, it was filled with lies about Jews. Mm-hmm. He couldn't shake that. And it was the Catholic Church that first taught that the church had replaced Israel. Roman Catholics are the people of God. The Jews no longer are. Okay. So we've got to be careful of that. There are those, for example, the Knox Seminary in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, mm-hmm. founder D. James Kennedy and so forth. You know, I don't know that we've mentioned it on this program. Maybe we have, but a few years ago, they put out a document signed by more than 70 evangelical leaders. I think it's section 10 of that document said that all of the promises that God made to Israel, well, they say that there's nothing in the Bible to indicate that there's any ethnic group of people who were given a special land. I don't know what Bible they've been reading. And then it goes on to say that all of the promises given to Abraham concerning this land, oh, well, then now they contradicted themselves. There must have been some people that to whom a land was promised. But they say they were all fulfilled under Joshua. Now, again, I don't know what Bible they're reading, because if you went to Jeremiah 23, verses 7 and 8, it very clearly says, thus saith the Lord, the day is coming when it will no longer be said, blessed be the Lord who brought his people out of the land of Egypt, but blessed be the Lord who brought his people from all the nations where he had scattered them back into the land. That certainly did not happen under Joshua. So Israel, important? Yes, for the Messiah. The Messiah is a Jew. Without Israel, we've got no salvation. God said to Abraham in Genesis 12, in thee and in thy seed mm-hmm. shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So the Messiah would be a Jew, okay? Well, then what purpose does God have for them, and where do they fit into? When will Jesus come and the rapture and so forth? Any Jew or any Gentile who believes in Christ is the one who died for their sins. They're born again. They're in the church. Any Jew who does not, or any Gentile who does not, is not in the church. And Jesus said very clearly in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, then does that mean that there's no blessings for national Israel? Indeed, there are. So if we went to Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 35, God says, as long as the sun is in the sky, the stars are up there, Israel will not cease from being a nation before me forever. So you ask me a simple question, and I get all involved, because this is the subject of the Bible. How are we going to cover the whole Bible
right.
in a few minutes?
And that's the point we want to make, that the Scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, this is God's Word, and right. it's about Israel, and it's about the Messiah. It has mm-hmm. to do with the salvation of mankind, and this exactly. is God's, I hate to say program, but this is the way God has declared he will go about, you know, and has redeemed humanity. Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way.
Right.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that is because the penalty has to be paid. And in contrast, you could put all religions on one side and Christianity biblical Christianity is on the other side. You can put all the sacred books, so-called, of all the world's religions over here, and the Bible is over here, because they all basically agree with one another that the gods can be appeased, or salvation or redemption, however they want to phrase it, comes by good works, comes by our own efforts. We've got to turn over a new leaf. We've got to please God. We've got to somehow make reconciliation for our own sins, and that there are certain religious rituals, sacraments, and so forth. And as a Catholic, you know, that was what you were brought up believing.
Or even some who would profess to be evangelicals would say, well, you know, good works and going to church and doing this, becoming a deacon, whatever it might be, you know, that's going to endear me to God and make it okay for me.
But the Bible is very clear, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And right there we have a little problem, because faith is not the gift. Well, I couldn't do anything. I can't even breathe without God, so I couldn't have faith without God. But that doesn't mean that God gives certain people the ability to believe and the other ones he damns to hell because they can't believe, because he doesn't give them the ability to believe. The subject in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 is salvation. So salvation is the gift. By grace are you saved, through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Mm-hmm. No one can boast of good works or rituals or anything that he has done that has brought salvation to him. All we can boast in is in the Lord and his mercy and grace to us. Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Bible's about. It's about salvation for mankind. And Dave, it's not just a theological book. Some would say, well, yeah, it's a good book because it's got good moral teachings in it and so forth. But it's a history book. It's a history book divinely presented. Mm-hmm. It's God speaking through men, his words, his thoughts, his ideas. Mm-hmm. And we can check it out by history. And, you know, you write in chapter 3, chapter 3 is titled An Irrefutable Sign. You write, God's unique dealings with Israel before a watching world constitute an irrefutable proof that he exists and that he is guiding history. I mean, all people need to do is check it out and check back in history. You add, Jewish history stands as a universally visible monument to God's existence, to the fact that the Bible is his infallible word and the Jews are his chosen people. So history. Mm-hmm. I mean, people can check it out.
You can't escape it, Tom. And of course, I always think of the contrast between the Bible and the Book of Mormon. They haven't found anything. They can't even find the topography. They can't verify the geography. And they've had
not even the Kingdom of Moron. That's in Ether.
Right. They have searched, you know, their archaeologists have searched North, Central, South America. They spent millions, can't find nothing. In contrast, the museums around the world, you got mountains. Tom, we visited, our family visited the Hittite Museum in Ankara, Turkey. And there was a time when the skeptics said Hittites, they didn't even exist. The grammar school kids, or I guess high school students as well in Israel, they study their history out of the Bible. You want to know where to dig to find an ancient city or an ancient well or anything else, read the Bible. The archaeologists go by the Bible, and it will tell you where to go. Book of Mormon, nothing, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is history, and I love it, because when you read Genesis, you are reading about real people, real nations, real places, real events. There is absolutely no escaping it. So that's a good point, that historically, the Bible can be verified. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any mistakes about history. If it made mistakes about history, then it's not true.
How could you trust any other party?
Exactly, exactly. And by the way, God brought Abraham, led him into not the land of Palestine. There was no such place and there were no such people as Palestinians. He led him into the land of Canaan. And he said, I've given the land of Canaan to you and to your seed for an everlasting possession. It's an everlasting covenant, and we get that in many places. First Chronicles 16 would be one of the places. So he gives us everlasting life. He promises everlasting life. And if this everlasting covenant isn't everlasting, then the everlasting life he promises us couldn't be everlasting either. Tom, as you point out, we've got to take the Bible as one book. Mm-hmm. It's either all true or it's worthless.
Been listening to Search the Scriptures 24/7, hosted by T.A. McMahon, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Please visit our website, thebereancall.org, to access our radio archives going back to 1999 and our newsletter going back to 1986. We offer daily updates by email or visit us on Facebook or Twitter. Are you looking for information about a specific topic? Go to thebereancall.org and click on Topics at the top of the page. Our online store is thebereancall.com. We offer a wide variety of books, tracks, CDs, and DVDs. Note that most of our ebooks are free. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could join us, and we hope you can be here again next week. Until then, we encourage you to search the Scriptures 24/7.
Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.